2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Fast 40, presented to you by DFSArmy.com. Now, this pod's going to be short and sweet. I'm going to cover the Michigan Firekeepers Casino 400 race on Sunday. Final practice was just rained out, so we've got all we have to work with here. We were able to get an early practice in at around 9 o'clock today, and final practice was canceled along with Xfinity qualifying. So we are ready to break down this race real quickly. I have to go to the zoo here in a short little bit with some family, but I have time to do a quick little podcast here. Just going to keep it short and simple. I do want to point out something that I've added to the research station that's going to be really helpful. We already have the positional scoring breakdown based on where drivers have started historically in the field and how that has resulted in, you know, average fantasy points, average finish, and so on, DNF percentages. Well, I've taken historical driver ratings, and basically what I do is I'm looking at each performance here at Michigan, for example, and I look at how drivers fared in that entire season for their driver rating, so what their driver rating was for the entire season, and we can use that to analyze how guys do based on their season-long driving or driver rating. So we can look at guys who averaged over 110 driver rating for the year, or for that given year, and how they performed at Michigan. And you can kind of see a tiered list. So you can see how week to week, you can see how much of an advantage the higher end guys, you know, the guys with the driver ratings above 100 or 110, you can get a real feel for how much of an advantage these guys really have over guys coming in with driver ratings around 90 or 80 or so. It really helps you to see how much separation the top tier drivers have from the mid pack, and especially at the back of the field helps you a lot. Also helps with the DNF percentages too. You can kind of see who all makes up the DNFs here. Some tracks, the studs have more DNFs than like the mid pack, and sometimes it's the other way around. Usually DNF percentage is based a little bit more off of starting position, but it's not always the case at some tracks. Here we can clearly see that DNF percentage lowers the farther you start back in the field. And as far as, you know, driver rating or the quality of driver here, really it's a story of two halves. If you have a driver rating above 70 or so, you know, the upper mid-range to the high-end drivers, your DNF percentage is just, here it's about 15 to 17% on average. So for guys 60 and below in the driver rating category, your scrubs, they're going to be around 22 to 25%. If your driver rating is under 30, that drops all the way to 45%, because those guys are really horrible. So you can get a real sense of what to expect. You know, you can also see what percentage of the time they end up in the optimal lineup. You know, guys with a driver rating of over 110 hit that mark 58% of the time, and guys with driver ratings around 100, they'll hit that mark around 30 to 37% of the time. Just really cool stuff to look at. You can kind of see where a lot of the value lies, not only in starting position, but now by just overall driver acumen, which is what I'm really trying to put out here. And remember that you can only see this stuff if you check out the research station on DFSArmy.com. Use promo code TACO on sign up to support the pod. Looking at practice times, we didn't get a very big session in on the first practice. A lot of guys are in qualifying trim. It's hard to make too much out of that practice, but the final practice, it should have been just the second practice, but ended up being the final practice from this morning. Should be a little bit more telling. And Kevin Harvick faster in every single mark, 0.11 seconds ahead of the second fastest Kyle Larson, who just so happens to be the three-time defending champion at this track. Not a lot of guys took 10 lap speeds. We only have 13 guys that took 10 lap speeds overall. Nobody got 10 laps in the first practice. So, it's a 2 mile track. See, Michigan's a lot bigger than your normal track. It's a 2 miler, has 200 laps. So with practice, 10 laps of a big 2 mile track is a lot more telling than 10 laps otherwhere at places like Martinsville or Bristol, the smaller ones. Those who try to get, you know, the top 15, top 20 averages if we can. Top 10, you know, 10 lap speeds here would be really nice if, you know, more of the field got them in. With only 13 people or 14 people getting 10 lap speeds in, it's hard to extrapolate too much from it, but it is a good sign to see that they were out there for so long. But some guys just got their car dialed in and went back or experimented a little bit. But it's pretty easy to tell who the top, at least the top like three or four drivers are in speed here. Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, 1 and 2. If Martin Truex Jr. took 10 lap speeds, I'm sure he would have been up there as well. Just real quick, with Michigan, like I said, 200 miles, it's a very wide, very fast track. It is all about your engine here. And usually we see guys, like I can pull up in the historical performances tab, usually the guys that are like your top tier drivers have a bit more of an advantage than they do here from that like second tier of driver. But this is a place where we've seen sort of the second tier of driver be able to stand punch for punch with the big boys. At least recently, we've seen guys like Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson have a ton of success here. Jamie McMurray as well also does really, really well here. And Penske does well here as well, with Keselowski and Logano. Blaney is yet to have a ton of success here, but it's a very good track for Penske and really just a good overall track for the Fords. This is another track that Kevin Harvick has liked to finish at runner-up a bunch of times, just like Pocono. One of the key defining features of this track is how multi-laned it is and how fast it is. It is the fastest track that we will go to all year long. Speeds reaching up to 217 miles per hour, just wicked fast. And usually guys will fan out a ton, like on restarts and stuff. Although the track is racing a lot more single file, and it has been racing a lot more single file over the last few years. This was repaved several years ago, but since then, each year the preferred line has migrated closer to the bottom of the racetrack, and the racing has been more single file, as where before, guys used to be able to drive all over the freaking place. You can't really take the outside lane anymore. Most guys drive in the middle lane, venturing into the bottom lane. They never go there during practice, but they will venture into the bottom lane during the race just to find some room. So the restarts are pretty interesting, but after that, it's going to be some real single-file racing. Guys racking up lead laps, but there are only 200 laps, so not quite as many dominator points as usual. It's the same strategy as last week with Pocono, although Pocono tends to be a bit more of like a gas mileage sort of a race, as where this one gives a real huge advantage to the pole sitter. The pole sitter averages almost twice as many fantasy points as anyone starting in any other position. They average 70.8 lead laps, so almost half of the lead laps they're averaging. 31.1 fast laps, 68 fantasy points, 127 driver rating. They're hitting 50 fantasy points 70% of the time. I mean, pole sitters just do really good here. We have an interesting pole sitter. Kurt Busch, not your usual big name pole sitter, but let's talk about him real quick. Just going to go through the field in order. Well, at least we'll talk about the potential dominators of this race first. And then we'll get into just the value plays. So we've got to be quick here. But Kurt Busch starting on the pole. And right outside of him, we've got Brad Keselowski, who's been very outspoken about not liking the tire choice. They are going with a new tire here at Michigan. And it was not what the drivers wanted at all. They had done a bunch of Goodyear tire testing, and then the ones that they said they didn't want are the ones that they will be racing here in the race. Despite that, Keselowski is very fast in both practices. Didn't take 10 lap speeds, but third and fifth overall in practice. The third, of course, being qualifying trim. Starting second, Keselowski could just pass Kurt Busch lap one and lead a bunch of laps. I don't really see that happening. I see Kurt Busch being able to stave off Keselowski, and then Keselowski succumbing to Kevin Harvick charging behind him or Kyle Busch. Like, that second row is really should be the first row. It's been the first row a lot this year. But Kyle Busch and Harvick in third and fourth, they're looking like your top dominator option still, even though there technically is a front row here. Kurt Busch, you could see him leading anywhere from, like, zero to, like, 40 laps or so, I'd say. He could lead the entire first stage, really, but I do see him getting caught by Harvick. Harvick just seems so fast. He's been fast all season long. But if that's the case, you know, I don't know if Harvick would even, you know, push too hard to take the lead from Kurt. That's his teammate. So if Harvick does really well, it's a shame that Harvick won't be pushing him from the third position. It'd be kind of awkward, him in fourth and Kyle Busch in third there, but still Kurt should definitely be able to hold off Keselowski. I don't really see Keselowski being a crazy huge threat from the outside. Not saying what will happen, it could definitely happen, but I think that Kurt Busch is actually safe to lead a few laps, and $8,000, not a terrible price tag for him. He's won this race in 2015, third in 2013 as well. The last few races he's finished, the last four races he's finished in between 10th and 12th each time, so he tends to finish right around there. But given the pole, he's had a pole earlier in this season, and he was able to get 40 lead laps off of that. That was in Texas. Led 40 laps and was a pretty decent value, finished 7th. I could see something similar with him. You know, he's 5th overall on 10 lap averages, not too shabby. Not as fast as Harvick or Busch, but if he just gets some clean air off of the first stage, I think he could possibly squeeze in enough lead laps to give him some value, especially over there on FanDuel, where lead laps just mean a lot more in regards to dominator points compared to DraftKings, where fast laps matter twice as much. So Kurt Busch at $8,000, I definitely could see him. I wouldn't go all in on him or anything, but I'd give the odds of him making enough dominator points to hold value there at around, like, I'd say like 40% or so. Just mix him in your GPPs. Definitely have lines with him and without him. He allows for you to do so much else with your salary savings for a dominator there. You could even pair him up with Kyle Busch or Kevin Harvick as well. And even if he doesn't lead a ton of laps, he could possibly hold value by just finishing like 6th or something. Looking at the big boys here, Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, both are absolutely excellent this year. 124 driver rating for Kyle Busch, 125 for Harvick. Harvick's averaging 90 lead laps and 60 fast laps, with Kyle Busch averaging 77 lead laps, mostly from Charlotte, and 49 fast laps. Here at Michigan, it's a tale of two stories with these two. I mean, gosh, Harvick, 113 driver rating. Kyle Busch, 78 driver rating at Michigan. Lots and lots of accidents for him. He had a stretch of, five out of six races where he just crashed. He had four out of five races where he finished 39th or worse between 2014 and 2016. He's had a very, very rough go at it with this generation of car at Michigan. Last year he finished 10th and 7th, which is all right, but this is clearly one of Kyle Busch's worst tracks. He was second overall in 10-lap speeds to Harvick, but just with the track consideration alone, you got to favor Harvick here. Harvick has those 5 runner-up finishes in the last 10 races. 13th and 14th last year. Not crazy, but as you can see, this is looking like the first week of the year where you can really consider fading both Harvick and Busch. A lot of the reason for that is Kyle Larson, $10,500, starting in 26th. And also Martin Truex Jr., last week's winner, starting in 17th. Both very, very good options. We'll talk about them real quick. With Harvick or Busch, you kind of want to favor Harvick. Use him a lot just because he's been so awesome this year. And with Kyle Busch, shorten down, make him Kush. With Kyle Busch, you don't really want to use him as much. I know that I'm sure a lot of people will see just how dreadful he's been. And sure, a lot of it has just been accidents. So maybe reading too much into that isn't the greatest, but still, just, you know, if you need a separator between Harvick and Busch, that there it is right there. Just the horrible track record here. But Kyle Busch definitely set a minimum for him on the domination station. Make sure you have some lineups with him. But it's kind of a good week to be off of him just so you can be on some of these other guys. These other guys I'm talking about, Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson was second overall in the final practice, third in 10-lap speeds, 3-time defending champion at this track. Just gets around here so well. And you'd figure he'd be getting worse and worse at this track as the outside line goes farther and farther away and becomes more single-file racing. But he's been able to put himself out there in the front and lead those laps. He actually hasn't dominated a ton. He hasn't had a ton of success as far as like leading laps and stuff. Only averages 18 lead laps. He just finds a way to put himself there at the end. Average running position of 11.4. So it's not like Kevin Harvick at Phoenix where he has all those wins and he just leads every lap and his numbers are off the charts. Larson just has a really, really good nose for finishing well here. And this is where he got his first win back in 2016. Swept it last year, of course. I mean, that's a lot of the analysis has to be made is, Larson with his 3 wins in a row here. But fast in practice, starting 26th. So on DraftKings, he's kind of a no-brainer. Even on FanDuel, like, he'll rate out as the highest projected play. He should for everyone, really. But I wouldn't make a lineup with him as, like, the main dominator, since he doesn't really tend to dominate large chunks of races all that often, even here. And, you know, for that, you want to go to one of the Bushes or a Kevin Harvick or maybe a Keselowski. Then with Martin Truex Jr., I kind of just skipped over him a little bit here. But, you know, won last week, very fast car. He's been in a really good spot the last few weeks. Starting 17th, so he gets some place differential off the bat, which is really nice. The hard part with him is if you play him and Larson together, you kind of have to play Kurt Busch as your main dominator guy. It's really hard to fit Truex, Larson, and Harvick or Kyle Busch. It can be done, but it's not really recommended. You have to kind of punt hard. But still, maybe if you want to fade Larson, since he'll be so popular coming off the 3 wins, then Truex is a great little pivot. But it's hard to really consider the guy that won last week a huge pivot, especially him starting so well. Ownership should be really tricky this week, actually, with where these top 4 guys are and Larson and Truex being in such good spots. You won't see the crazy chalk of Harvick and Busch as usually will. I think you'll see a very low-owned week for Kyle Busch. But talking about Truex Jr. again here, didn't take 10 lap speeds. Runner-up last year. Averages the most fast laps. Well, almost. By 0.1. He's just 0.1 short of being the leader here. But averages 18.2 fast laps. Pretty good stats overall. 4 top 3 finishes, but no wins. In the last decade, Truex just a really good option. On the odds books, he's about even to Kyle Busch. 5.75 right now are the odds for him. Kyle's at 5, and Kevin Harvick's at 3.75. Larson's at 6.5. And then the closest to them is at 13. So it's definitely the tale of the big four. There's a big four at this track, and Larson, Truex are right there with Kyle Busch for once, and Harvick being the slight favorite. You gotta give the nod to him, but of course he's gonna be crazy high owned like always. It's those four. Really, one of those four is going to win the race almost assuredly. I don't think so. I've made my pick a while ago and I've held to it. I'll talk about him in a little bit here. Let's go over the Penske guys real quick. I already touched on Keselowski. Logano has a very good track record here. A couple of wins in 2016 and 2013. Averages 35 lead laps here. He's had some really nice large segments of domination here at this track. 113 driver rating. Second best on the board to the mystery guy that I'll talk about later that I've mentioned a few times. The starting fifth, Logano, man, he's gotten like no fast laps this year. Only averages 5 fast laps. So that's bad for DraftKings. But Logano, I've been saying a lot with him, but play him on FanDuel. He finishes most of his laps, loves to finish in the top 10. Loves to ride up there, and he could possibly lead some laps here, but really is just one of the safest bets for a top 5 finish you'll have. Clint Bowyer, same price as last week on DraftKings, $9,500. Starting 12th, kind of a similar situation to last week. The practice times were not quite as good as last week, but still pretty good. 4th in the 10 lap averages. He's someone you're going to want some exposure to. Not very good at this track at all. He used to always finish in the top 10, but with Stuart Haas Racing, he's had some really, really poor finishes, 23rd and 26th last year. And we don't even want to talk about 2016. That season was kind of a wash for him. But yeah, he hasn't had a ton of success here. Can't really bank too much on Bowyer, although he's been super fast this season. He's averaging 27 lead laps and 16 fast laps. But again, the price has really, really risen to the point where he's very fairly priced. He's not underpriced like he was early in the season. Kind of like him more on FanDuel than DraftKings. Just because with DraftKings, I really want to go to some of the other plays here. That and just you having to get so much Larson and Truex in your lineups, of course, with Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick, kind of makes everyone gravitate to scrubs and studs lineups. Really hard to consider guys like Bowyer or like Hamlin here at 9,200. He's starting 10th. Very similar to Logano. He just likes to get a lot of top 10s, but doesn't necessarily dominate. He's kind of sluggish in practice, 21st overall, didn't take a 10-lap speeds. 17 on the odds books right now. Just not huge on Hamlin this week. And then the guy I've alluded to a bit here, Chase Elliott. The best driver rating of anyone in this field at Michigan in 4 attempts, driver rating of 114, average running position of 5th, average finish of 3rd and a half, 3.5th. he's pretty good here. 3 straight top 2 finishes without a win, so another way of saying 3 second place finishes in a row for him until last year's fall race where he finished 8th. Didn't have the greatest showing there, but averages 18.3 fast laps, the most of anyone in this entire field. 16.5 lead laps, so he's led laps here. He's had some stretches of domination. He's been really good at just showing up late in the race, not really doing much in stage 1 or 2. I don't even think he's grabbing many stage points, but the dude was fast in first practice, not as fast in the second practice, 17th on the board. But Hendricks has looked a lot better recently. Last week, there, you know, Jimmy Johnson was up there, and in recent weeks, we've seen Bowman and Byron putting up really good results. And for Chase, you know, he hasn't been doing much this season. Last season, he was the top 10 god. Not so much this season. He really hasn't been doing a ton lately, but the last month or so has been all right for him. A lot of top 10 finishes. And starting 13th, the top 10 finish will do you pretty good, but I think he has a lot more upside here at his best track. Could get another second place finish, but I've predicted that this is where he will get his first victory, and I predicted that a long time ago. I've just got to hold true, even though it hasn't looked good for him recently. I still think he can get it done here. So play him prospectively, but kind of keep your expectations in check. Ryan Blaney, $8,800, starting ninth. He is the sneakiest dominator there is. Fastest in first practice, but 14th in final practice. The results haven't been here. He finished fourth in 2016, but other than that, it's been a really rough track for him. I think he's just going to be a forgotten individual, $8,800, starting ninth. But he could sneak up there and lead laps. I really think he's an awesome GPP play in that regard. He's tied with Keselowski for the best odds of anyone outside of the big four. So Blaney, just really sneaky in GPP. He won't have much ownership. And I like him on FanDuel as well. Those prices are a lot more expensive there. Jimmy Johnson at $8,500, starting 20th. I think you need to buy in on him. I know the practice times have sucked, but he's put up a lot of top 10 finishes recently, and he's been riding in the top like three or four. We've seen it in the last few weeks. So it's not Jimmy's best track. You know, when you see his track history and it's not like all wins and top fives, you know, it's a sub average track for him. But yeah, he's just been so good. I'm definitely getting on Jimmy Johnson. It's kind of on him last week, but I think the word is out. He's going to go back to being quite popular. Just 34 in the odds books right now. So they don't think he's going to win, and I really don't think he's going to win either. Only reason he led laps last week was because of pit strategy. But starting 20th, I mean, you can't really go too wrong with that. Cheap price, $8,500 on DraftKings. So I like me some Jimmy Johnson, despite having some reasons to probably not like him, if you know what I mean. Eric Jones, $8,400, third last time out at this race. He's starting in 8th, pretty decent in practice, I guess, like 10th in the 10 lap averages and in overall speed. Has been all right, you know, running around the 13th position or so. So starting 9th, just not the best for him with so many guys ahead of him that are a lot more likely to lead laps. So not crazy huge on Eric Jones this week. Almirola, really never in on him unless he starts in the back, just because he gets no dominator points. And he's starting 6th this week, so no Eric Almirola, maybe on FanDuel. Alex Bowman, $7,800, starting 21st. His stats are so weird, because he's been doing so much better than it really shows. Or maybe he's just doing better than he really is. I mean, his driver rating is right there at 70. Just not too hot, but we've seen him up there constantly this year. He just runs into trouble from time to time, including last week where he was involved in a crash, finished last. It sucks for him. His track history here is pretty much all him finishing last or towards the back with his old team. And then once he finished 30th, in 2016 in Dale Jr.'s car, the car he's driving now. So he doesn't have any sort of like track record of success to go off of. He is racing in today's, well, probably tomorrow's Xfinity race. That's most likely rained out or postponed. And starting 21st, you know, it's a good starting spot for him, but $7,800, very expensive for a place differential play. You can get a much better play in McMurray for a couple hundred cheaper. Also Suarez for cheaper. Then once you get to the 6K range, there are a lot of guys that have a lot more value than Bowman has this week. So Bowman, you're basically playing him for the same reasons you'd play guys in the 6K range. And the upside, it's not like there's like dominator upside to have with him like you would have with like some of the 8K guys like Eric Jones or Kurt Busch or Jimmy Johnson or... Well, maybe I shouldn't say Jimmy Johnson for domination, but you know what I mean. Bowman's just kind of in an awkward range with Ryan Newman. Newman's starting too high to even really consider playing all that much. But Bowman, even though he's starting 21st, it's a decent spot for him. But I'd keep him on FanDuel where he's always underpriced. Just expensive on DraftKings. And Newman starting 11th is a little high for me. And Jamie McMurray starting... in 24th, he's $7,600. Over on FanDuel, he is $9,200. Really nice play for both sites. Four straight top 10 finishes, five top 10 finishes out of his last six starts here. This is one of his best tracks, and his teammate is the three-time defending champion here. So Chip Ganassi Racing sort of has a pretty decent idea of what to do to have success at Michigan. They're quite good at it. Starting 24th, I really love Jamie McMurray. This has not been a guy that we have played much recently. He's been qualifying well too high, qualified 7th last week. No, that was actually the week before. They qualified 3rd last week. But yeah, they've been having these crazy high qualifyings. We just have not been using McMurray at all. Now he's starting 24th. That is just excellent for DraftKings purposes. So play him. Play him on FanDuel, too. Then Austin Dillon, $7,400. Starting 16th, just a very, very mediocre play there. That's all that really comes to mind with him. Just don't not play him, but don't play him a ton at all. Daniel Suarez, $7,300. He was really bad here last year, 37th and 24th. One of them was the 37th place finish was a crash. If you go by his average running position of 18th, that's about normal. That's what you see his running position for the track type and just his overall average finish, average running position. It all comes down to about 18th or so. He's starting 22nd, so you do expect him to move up a few spots, and he could possibly crack the top 10. 12th in practice, didn't take 10 lap speeds. For $7,300, I expect Suarez to be quite popular. I don't know if I'm going to be overweight on him. He's just, you know, he has the upside and all. I just think he's going to be popular, and I'm going to roll a lot more with McMurray and some other plays around here. Kenseth, $7,100. His last two times out, he's been all right. You know, had a rough debut. Never really fast in practice in Trevor Bayne's number 6 Roush Ford. So far, 56 driver rating on the season. And what we can do is we can look at guys with driver ratings of 50 to 60 on the season and how they've performed here. 18 average fantasy points, average running position of 26th, average finish of 25th. Only 4% of the time they come in the top 6 in DraftKings points. I just really don't like spending over $7,000 for someone that hasn't performed that well at all this season. I know his sample's still small. And you can't really look at his track history here because that's all JGR. You know, he won in 2015, but, you know, JGR. With Kenseth, it's hard to know what to really make of him. We have this 3-race sample size. Could he move up from 19th? Sure, but I don't see him moving up too much, you know. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. starting in 7th, that's way too high. yeah, just can't play him. Paul Menard starting 15th. Good practice times, 9th and 10 lap speeds, 8th and 11th in overall speeds in the two practices. Starting 15th, he's a fine play. Not quite as good as last week starting in 20th, but he's a alright play to mix and match down here. We're back on Kasey Kahne again. Practice times weren't great, but 29th starting position should lock in positive value from Kahne. AJ Allmendinger at $6,500 starting in 25th. Another just kind of mediocre play. He has 3 straight top 20 finishes here, but you know the overall driver rating on the season and at this track type is 56. At Michigan, it's 60. It's not great at all. But yeah, he could just like chill, you know, and come in like 18th and be an okay value. That's like his upside. But 500 in the odds books, just not great at all. Look at Byron for $200 cheaper. He's 151 on the odds books. 7th and 10 lap speeds as well. He's starting 14th, really high for someone in the 6K range. But we see it kind of every week with Byron. Starts in the teens, finishes in the teens. Starting 14th, if he just finishes where he starts, he could have a higher value than the guys around him, if assuming none of them like go up a ton, if there are, you know, big crashes or whatever. Byron's final practice speeds and just the success that Chevy and Hendricks have had at this track here over the last few years, it's a really good sign for William Byron. And he's so cheap, $6,300. Over there on FanDuel, he's just crazy cheap at $7,100. Byron's just incredible value for both sites. Even with his high starting position, I would still play him on both sites. Then Bubba Wallace, $6,100 in DraftKings, starting 28th. This is the race last year, Last year he debuted at Pocono and turned it around, had a pretty solid finish, his first top 20 finish, finished 19th here at Michigan. And I could see him having another kind of turnaround week. Last week he had a really, really tough time. Pocono is just not for him. Had kind of flashbacks of his horrible debut there. But he could definitely turn it around here. And this is a nice, really nice starting position for him in 28th. He's actually finished 99% of his laps that he's scheduled for, which is the best of anyone in the field. Him and Bowman, best on the entire season for percentage of laps finished. Only 31% of the time does he finish on the lead lap. So that should be noted, but here he's probably going to finish on the lead lap. It's such a large track, and we see 94% of the time finishes within 5 laps of the lead. That is the best mark of anyone in the entire field. 100% of the time within 10 laps. Really, it just means that he hasn't had that devastating early race-ending crash yet in his career, but he's been consistent in keeping the car upright and at least finishing in the top 20, top 25. You can see here, 75% of the time he finishes in the top 25, 50% of the time he finishes in the top 20, and the top 20 will definitely give you value for a 28th starting position for $6,100, so I'm on Bubba this week. Chris Buescher starting 18th is a little high, but he did finish 6th last year. I'm not going to have zero exposure to Buescher. It is a little high for me, but I will have some. McDowell starting 23rd, a little high for McDowell. Don't really like him a ton. Quite slow in final practice, so I'm not really going to be using him. Guys under him are a lot more intriguing this week. The key punts, I think, for this entire week are the guys I'm about to list here. David Ragan, $5,700, starting in 27th. This is the first time we've seen him qualify underneath like the 24th starting position or whatever in like a month or two. So David Ragan's back on the menu. He has been really solid. Got some improved engines from Roush about 2 months ago, and you can really tell with his qualifications and finishes. He was last in the 10-lap averages, but at least he took 10 laps, right? 24th overall in speed. Starting 27th, I definitely see him moving up to about the 20th position or so to finish. That seems about right for Ragan. So for $5,700, really nice punt play. And then Ty Dillon, $5,600. He was super cheap last week, and it was a track that he has a lot of success at. He really is really good at the large intermediate ovals, and it shows. Last week he had a really good performance. This is another track where he has a solid track history of success here. All top 25 finishes. He finished 14th in Tony Stewart's car, but last year with Germain Racing, he finished 20th and 21st. Really solid finishes, and with a starting position of 31st, that could definitely result in him being a great value. If he has another 20th or 21st sort of finish, that's good value, just like Ragan. Ty Dillon and David Ragan, of all these guys down cheap, they have really, really easy routes to value, I see. Just because the guys starting behind them are all bad. There aren't any, like, Kevin Harvick starting from the back or whatever that will instantly pass them. They're pretty much going to stay ahead of who they're starting ahead of here. And that's what I really like about them for the price. Matt DiBenedetto, $5,400, starting 30th, is a pretty all right option. 26th and 28th last year. Just doesn't have the upside of Ty Dillon or Ragan. Then Landon Castle, starting 36th. The thing about him is he was quite slow in practice, 37th in speed. But this season, his average running position is 32.3, but his average finish is 28.3. He's just so good at staying alive, and that's how he manages to finish where he does. Last year in a different car, he finished 25th. But this season, we've seen him finish top 30 in pretty much every race. So starting 36th, assuming that Castle doesn't pull a Castle of old and just hit the wall for no reason, I could see Castle returning some solid value for such a cheap price. And I think Castle's going to be kind of popular because his game log is quite nice and they see the 36. But I'm going to use me a little more Ross Chastain for $100 cheaper. He's starting 33rd, and 93% of the time he finishes in the top 30. So the guy's moving up. He's been really good the last few times out, really trying to push for a top 20 finish. just has been really solid. And starting 33rd, he's certainly going to go up, has some really easy guys to pass. I could see him passing the likes of Ty Dillon or Matt DiBenedetto, especially like a Corey LaJoie type, although he's definitely a lot better than all these other scrubs. But Chastain, someone I'm definitely going to work into my lineups, and he doesn't get a ton of ownership either, so that's a nice little bonus for him. Really nice super punt on FanDuel if you need to go all the way to the bottom. Then Corey LaJoie at $5,000. That 72 car has definitely performed at a level higher than all of the other like 5 or 4K scrubs that you see every week. Remember that this is the car that he shares with Cole Witt, and Cole Witt has had a really awesome season so far in that car, and LaJoie has had some pretty good results with the car as well. 43 driver rating compared to LaJoie's usual driver rating of about 30 or so. Average running position of 29th, average finish of 25th, just really good at keeping it together and finishing it. And LaJoie finished 31st and 30th last year with a much worse car. He was sharing cars with, or I think it was with BK Racing, with Greg Galding, driving either the 83 or 23. They kind of went back and forth last year, but LaJoie's in a much better spot now with the 72. And starting 32nd, he could have a top 30 finish for sure. So if you need anyone in the 4K range, that's the only guy you want to touch, I think. Other than that, it's all bad. McLeod, no. Kennington, God, no. Galding is starting a bit high, and just no, he's going to crash. And you've got the debut of Garrett Smithley. And usually he's nice for Xfinity when he's starting in like 38th, but no, not in his Cup debut, even though he's starting last. Pretty much last in all the practices. And then, of course, Timmy Hill. That's the one guy Smithley could pass as Timmy Hill in the horrible 66 car. Those are going to be your bottom three, pretty much. Bottom four, I'd say. Bottom five. That's all. Put it. The bottom five is going to be McLeod, Kennington, Galding, Smithley, Hill, or whoever crashes early. Like, that's the bottom five for sure. I would not use these guys at such an engine-heavy track, especially since they're the ones that are going to go a lap down, and if a lap down here is pretty huge, since it's a pretty huge track, and a lot of the just the 6K, 5K sort of guys that are usually not too safe for staying on the lead lap, they're going to be safer this week, as where these guys are still not going to be safe. So don't use the bottom tier scrubs. It's just not good for you. I gotta get out of here. So it's been fun talking NASCAR. Remember dfsarmy.com. Use promo code TACO on sign up. We've got everything from NASCAR to MLB, WNBA. You freaking name it, we cover it, and we do a really good job. Come check out our content. Do a lot of good golf work. Last week, I won tournaments on both the FanDuel $1 10 max GPP, then on DraftKings, I won the slingshot last week. Not the big slingshot, the 10K slingshot. I wish it was the big slingshot that I would have won, but hey, double winner last week, so we've been pumping out some really good results and making a lot of money. This NASCAR stuff's been really nice stuff, so remember, dfsarmy.com, promo code TACO. You can come and chat with us and everything. Just come check us out. That's all you gotta say. Give it a try. You'll like it. dfsarmy.com, promo code TACO. This is TACO. I hope you guys have a good race tomorrow. Hope the rain stays away. And hope you guys make a lot of money. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.